Chapter 8, Tax Mitigation and Asset Protection Strategies. The avoidance of taxes is the only intellectual pursuit that carries any reward. John Mayer Keynes. Wealth Whispers. Some of the concepts I share with you next can feel like esoteric theory, but I've seen them in practice. In 2020, I was at an event with other high net worth investors. I asked one informal mentor for a private word. I've offset my income with deductions from real estate and haven't paid taxes for the last few years. Is this what you're doing? I quietly asked. Well, he laughed. I haven't really paid taxes in the last decade. He continued. You know that 8582 form you always talk about getting from your CPA on your podcasts? I looked mine up. I have just over $1 million of suspended passive activity losses, pals. So I don't see taxes happening anytime soon. I'll probably take those pals to the grave. This is when I learned that Wealth Whispers. The strategies that we discuss in this chapter are not openly discussed, not even in the noise of the Frugal FIRE movement, otherwise known as the Financial Independence Retire Early crowd, where influencers preach about retirement accounts or backdoor Roth accounts. If you aren't well connected with other purely passive accredited investors, you are outside these conversations. Tax strategies for your portfolio. It's true what they say. The rich just get richer. Few people talk about how little tax they pay. No one is prancing around the town square yelling, I have $3 million of suspended passive losses. Screw you, government. Come and get me. You never have to do anything shady or underhanded to lower your tax rate. All you have to do is understand the incentives buried within the IRS, Internal Revenue Service tax code. In this chapter, we look at how to gain real estate professional status, otherwise known as reps, protect your assets, and talk with your CPA. We'll also look into specific strategies for high earners and how not to get overwhelmed by the information I'm presenting here. I can't tell you exactly which strategy to use because each investor is different. What I can do is share stories of what many of our investors do. When you have access to our free members portal, you'll find past coaching calls where I go over tax bracketology and break down where people's AGIs are at and what number they should try to drive their AGI to for optimal taxes while balancing not running dry on passive activity losses or PALs. The coaching call videos are arranged by network, but you might have to watch a few videos to find enough data points around your income AGI range to get a clear picture. Additionally, each strategy might apply only to certain floors on the wealth elevator. So be sure to refer to our chart in the appendices. All of the strategies in this chapter are designed around one thing, lowering your ordinary income. You probably already know what ordinary income is. It derives from W-2 or 1099 income. It's typically the primary source of earnings for new investors. However, this type of income is not ideal. It's subject to high taxes and is difficult to offset. Our goal is to generate passive income, particularly from rental property investments or passive investment vehicles like syndications or private funds in real estate. Ordinary versus passive income taxes. So I'll describe this for those of you listening on the audiobook form. On the left side here, we have ordinary income, which is W-2 1099. You get hit with huge amounts of miscellaneous taxes like Social Security. This is the side we want to get away from. And I've mentioned this a few times, but the reason why we explain it in this way is it personally took me several times where people explained it different ways for me to finally understand that income is in different colors or different buckets. Something will finally resonate. If not, go read back in the book, you know, that previous chapter again. But in the right side of this diagram is passive income. There you get that from rents, from your syndications, other passive activity. And the cool thing about this is it's zeroed out by passive losses or these PALs we're talking about, which is the depreciation from real estate. And another way that we're getting it these days is through Section 179 losses through equipment, taking the depreciation from equipment. So again, passive losses offset passive income. And that's where if you have a lot of passive income, you can drive all that down to zero. The important thing here is passive losses do not zero out ordinary income, unless you have this thing called real estate professional status, which is a checkbox on your taxes that your CPA checks for you. There are two main ways of getting it. I'll describe it here briefly, but you need to have active participation in your portfolio, and you can't really be working a full-time job. Now, you and your spouse can work together to qualify for this, and there are a whole bunch of rules, and you're going to have to work with your CPA. I would suggest going to thewealthelevator.com/tax. We have a lot of good resources and videos there. Once you've gotten an idea of this concept to talk to a CPA, we can refer you to a good one. But anyway, we'll get back to the book here. In this chapter, I'll show you ninja tax strategies that allow you to pass generational wealth. The ideas may seem complex at first, but as you scale the wealth elevator, each strategy combines with the next to create exponential growth. Together, these ninja tax strategies significantly outperform traditional investing methods. At the lower levels of the wealth elevator, you may not have significant income to offset taxes. As you rise up the elevator, you can transition to a tax status of real estate professional, REP, R-E-P, which offers significant tax benefits. You can also earn better returns from alternative investments and reduce tax burdens, as well as accredited investor banking, to be discussed in the next chapter. It's essential to understand that this book provides a high-level overview, and the details may change slightly as the IRS tax codes change. It's crucial to consult with a modern CPA to execute this strategy properly. Now let's dive in. First up, what the heck is REPS? Real Estate Professional Status, REPS. As we mentioned in Chapter 7, PALs offset passive income from rentals and syndications. But you can't use PALs from your real estate to knock out your ordinary income from your W-2 day job or your 1099s. You also can't use PALs for your portfolio income if you buy or sell mutual funds or stocks. That's a bummer, unless you invoke real estate professional status, REPS, on your taxes. When you do that, you can use your PALs to effectively lower AGI, your adjusted gross income, to whatever you want, assuming you have enough PALs, by lowering your passive income or ordinary income. You or your spouse can qualify your family as REPS with two general conditions. First, not having a full-time day job, and number two, putting about 750 hours per year of active participation in your portfolio. Note that being an LP passive investor doesn't count for those hours, nor does being a real estate agent. It needs to be some active task over property that you own. The second requirement is the really tricky part. Here's an example of how I helped one client, a doctor named Paul, go from annual taxes of about $200,000 to zero. As a doctor, Paul was making $700,000 a year in total income. Of that, $600,000 came from his day job, and the rest was passive income from real estate. This gentleman had been investing for some time, and he had $500,000 of suspended passive losses built up. The $100,000 passive income from real estate was easy to negate on his AGI taxes with PALs, because he had enough suspended passive losses or PALs to offset that passive income. But what about the rest, the $600,000 of ordinary income that year? Paul's wife had worked as a teacher, but after they had children, she no longer had a full-time job. That allowed her to transition into becoming a full-time real estate professional. More importantly, it allowed the couple to tick that checkbox for REPS on their taxes. As I mentioned before, you cannot offset ordinary income with passive activity losses, PALs, but as a real estate professional, declaring REPS tax status, everything you earn is ordinary income, and passive income losses are considered ordinary losses at that point. After doing a little bit of cost analysis, Paul and his wife decided it was worthwhile to buy a couple of little rental properties nearby in order to become real estate professionals, REPS. Even with the legal liability they took on and the minor headache of actually managing these properties, it was worth the tax benefits. Specifically, I recommended that Paul work with a CPA to use a few $100,000 as suspended PALs, and these PALs were carried forward from previous years to bring his income down to at least $350,000. That's based on tax brackets. $360,000 in 2023 was the break point between the 24% tax bracket and the 32% tax bracket, and they wanted to duck below that break line. As a result, they brought their AGI down from $600,000 to $360,000 by using up $240,000 of suspended, unused PALs. That dropped them from a 32% tax bracket to a 24% tax bracket, creating substantial savings. They could then take those six figures in savings to invest in a few new deals. By using these combined strategies, Paul and his wife greatly decreased their taxes that year. Because of this, Paul realized he could retire early if he converted his lazy retirement and home equity to cash flow. With this plan, he charted the course to retire in 2 years, leaving him with just 2 years in a high income bracket, which he would offset with his PALs. Once he's not working in his high income job anymore, he will be in a much lower tax bracket. By then, they may not need the reps to offset their income. Of course, what worked for Paul might not work for you. You need a consultation to figure out if this is right for you, how low you can drive your AGI based on how many PALs you have banked up, and how you can qualify for reps. This is why a lot of this is individual. You need to learn these strategies to drive the ship and chart the course for your hopefully educated CPA. Other than obvious tax savings and expediting the path to financial freedom, the big win for Paul was just justifying the choice for his wife to stay at home with the kids before they grew up while earning rep status. That is what this is all about. Don't make shady moves. One person in our free Facebook posted terrible tax advice. He said, hey, go buy a $100,000 car with your business and then sell it or transfer it to you personally as a gift. I was furious. No way, that's illegal. You're taking this expense in as a write-off, and then if you're selling it, you need to take it as personal income. I end up banning him from the group because I didn't want him spreading bad advice. Advice we have all grown accustomed to hearing from randos on other free networking platforms. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of those Facebook groups. Paul had a lot of PALs to tap into. How do you build up your own PAL backlog? PAL Nirvana. One general tip I have that applies to every investor is to try to get a few $100,000 of suspended PALs into your proverbial back pocket. I call this the PAL Nirvana threshold. Here's how it works. At any time you have a deal that cashes out early, which is a good thing, you can shake out those losses and apply them to cancel out that particular capital gain and depreciation recapture on that asset, then save big. Then, of course, you invest that money and likely accrue even more passive losses. In practice, investors in dozens of deals or funds tend to accumulate more and more suspended PALs, all the while paying less and less tax. A few $100,000 of passive losses will likely be a starting point, and you can stockpile from there. Some people call this phenomenon the golden hamster wheel. You continue rolling it forward, perpetually deferring taxes, maybe forever. And even if at some point it catches up with you, because you stop investing or start investing back into traditional investments and generate more portfolio income than passive income, you delay taxes and therefore pay with future dollars. By putting off paying taxes for as long as possible, you can take that tax-sheltered money and grow it. In other words, it's the theory that more money today is better than tomorrow, because the value of money increases over time. I've also heard this called the slow 1031 exchange, because you are getting the outcome of deferring taxes without the cumbersome issues that come about in a 1031 exchange. No one in our world uses 1031 exchanges. They are effectively obsolete. If you're riding the golden hamster wheel of building your PALs in real estate deals by going into new ones, as I mentioned in earlier chapters, you can also pull out monthly cash flow from your profits, but this can slow your portfolio growth rate and diminish your tax offsets. You want to find the right mix between pulling cash flow and reinvesting for PALs to reach your financial and lifestyle goals. If you are savvy, you might have noticed that this works a lot like traditional QRPs. The difference is that you are doing this outside your QRP accounts. You get the same benefits without all the fees and restrictions, and you have the flexibility to use PALs from 1 year to another as you optimize your taxes. This is called income smoothing, which generally means keeping your AGI lower to avoid higher tax rates and larger tax years. When you self-direct your QRP money, the PALs stay insulated in your QRP, never rolling down to your personal tax returns where you need it. Don't worry if you're confused. I just want you to be aware of this pitfall. I talk more about this in the QRP section. When you're ready to stop investing or get off the golden hamster wheel and move out of real estate investments that don't give you PALs, you can defer the taxes from your capital with ease by continuing to invest in real estate, or you can completely avoid a lot of taxes by passing away and transferring the assets with the new step-up basis. And you can do what I see most of our high-end clients doing. You can keep investing in real estate and keep deferring taxes, all legal and above board. Even more tax strategies. We also coach our investors on other fun but effective tax strategies. One is the Augusta Rule. It involves using your home to host board meetings for your investment company, which, by the way, you now own an investment company. Yay! By charging yourself for the facility usage, you can claim significant tax deductions in the form of business expenses. Another strategy is paying your kids to do work in your investment company. This strategy falls under income shifting, where you move income to other places where the tax burden is less. In this case, your kids. To qualify your kids to be between 7 and 22, and your company can pay them up to $12,000. Mimicking that of the standard deduction. Other tax strategies are low-hanging fruit. For instance, you can find legitimate expenses incurred by your real estate business. What do you currently spend your money on? Could you run those things through your business as a necessary expense? To name a few, business mileage, meeting expenses, educational, networking fees, office computer supplies, a travel expense for due diligence trips, asset protection and legal entities. The more money you make, the more you will need to protect yourself. As your net worth increases, you will want to overlay asset protection strategies. This means basic insurance, umbrella insurance, LLCs, and irrevocable trust schemes. Which ones you need depends on what floor you are at in the wealth elevator. If you are more averse or have a higher degree of liability in your working profession, maybe you're a doctor, you may move up to an augmented asset protection before you moved up to the next floor. Basement and floor one, asset protection phase one, basic insurance, umbrella insurance. At this stage, you might find it sufficient to invest in your personal name or living trust name, which offers no legal protection. That's what most of our investors do. As long as you are investing as a passive investor and are not the general partner for the deal, you have limited liability. However, if you're investing in direct ownership or rentals, which is more of a legal liability, you might want to create an LLC, floor two, because the amount of litigation potential is exponentially higher than being a passive investor. This is a big reason high net worth investors tend to sell off their rentals for the scalability, but more importantly, to decrease litigation potential. At the very least, you need basic insurance for your home and auto and $1 million in umbrella insurance. Floor two and three, asset protection phase two, entities like an LLC. As of this writing, an LLC costs around $1,000 to set up plus a few hundred dollars annually. It provides an additional level of protection against being sued personally for things like slips, trips, and falls if you are the direct owner in a rental property. Remember, as an LP passive investor, you are not the managing member, so this doesn't apply. Some argue that an LLC is a redundant measure. An LLC is not bulletproof, but in most cases, it's an adequate amount of protection if you are under the penthouse status, $5 million net worth. A lot of investors get confused about whether they need a legal entity such as an LLC to write off business expenses. Remember that these legal entities are for asset protection. They do not stop you from getting the tax benefits as those benefits flow to you personally. The exception would be some irrevocable trusts. Penthouse, the asset protection phase three, irrevocable trusts. When you ascend to the higher floors, you no longer hope to get rich, but you are mainly concerned about not losing money. You can grant yourself an extra level of protection by removing yourself completely from the ownership chain through an irrevocable trust. This is a best practice of many multimillionaires. Simply put, your assets are pulled out of your estate. If someone wants to sue you, You don't own the assets, but you still control the assets to some extent. Ease of use decreases, but for many, irrevocable trusts are worth the extra legal protection. As of this writing, irrevocable trusts range greatly in costs from $10,000 to $100,000 and more. If you get sticker shock over the price tag, you probably aren't ready to set up an irrevocable trust. Note that unlike irrevocable trusts, standard revocable trusts, also called living trusts, do not offer asset protection. Attorneys can charge $1,000 to $10,000 to set up revocable trusts. Beware, a lot of legal promoters sell cool-sounding trust names that do it all in terms of asset protection and taxes. Not all are created equal. We suggest educating yourself and interacting with other people who have gone through the asset protection process to see what structure works best for you. Then find a legal team to put it all together. Specific strategies for high income earners. When it comes to tax benefits, high income earners often employ various additional tax strategies to their advantage. One strategy is investing in oil and gas deals. Given the incentives in the tax code aimed at reducing reliance on foreign oil, these investments offer significant tax benefits. Not only can individuals deduct their passive income, but they can also use the losses from the investment to also offset their ordinary income. This proves beneficial for high-income earners seeking to lower their overall income without relying on real estate professional tax status, REPs, or a high passive income portfolio. Another strategy involves participating in conservation easements for land preservation. These have faced scrutiny in recent years. Many investors still use them as a primary means to decrease their adjusted gross income, even ordinary income, by as much as 30%. When pursuing this option, individuals rely heavily on the expertise of venture operators to ensure the project meets all requirements. Nevertheless, it presents an effective method for reducing taxes without relying on real estate professional tax status, REPs, or a high passive income portfolio. Lastly, some investments allow you to obtain heavy tax write-offs through Section 179 equipment deductions that would typically avoid intense scrutiny from the IRS. This method is effective in generating significant PALs that you can use to offset passive income or capital gains from other real estate assets or other passive income, another tool for the sophisticated investor. But it's your job to find GPs and operators who provide such offerings and tax benefits. Your CPA versus tax strategist. Most of our clients start with the run-of-the-mill CPA who take the path of least resistance. Perhaps it's the reason why those CPAs still have a day job. Think about it. It's unfair to expect the average CPA to be a tax strategist for you. Number one, they don't know the deal risk profiles nor the operators you're working with. Number two, they don't know your future development plans to account for your estimated adjusted gross income, which is the effective tax rate for the next few years. And three, they don't know how much depreciation you will be getting from the plethora of investments you look to enter. It's your job to understand what you can and cannot do and lead your professionals. It is their job to complete the technical paperwork. CPAs and lawyers are contractors, but you need to be your own architect. You have to be in control. Don't let the consultant dictate the scope of work. It's up to you to raise your financial IQ so that you can advise your tax professional. One item that you need is the form 8582 from your current accountant that has your suspended PALs on there. Be aware, they don't normally give it to you or show you the back-end calculations. It's their way of preventing you from leaving. You have to stay strong and insist on it. In a way, it's like breaking up with your girlfriend or boyfriend and them keeping your stuff. It's tough, but you got to do it. We've actually gone as far as writing form letters for our clients to give it to their ex-CPA to help that breakup process. Here's a recent quote from a Family Office Ohana Mastermind member, which we call the FOOM. I felt confident directing my new CPA in our meeting today. My wife's observation was, if you didn't know to tell him half these things, they would have no way of accounting for it. I don't want to ring the victory bell just yet, but it looks like I'll be saving 30 to 35% in taxes compared to last year. And we are looking to squeeze under that magical AGI line next year once we get into more alternative assets. He continued, There was a combination of a few things we did for the 2002 filing. I took ownership of tax planning, got a new CPA, implemented reps with the wife, did 2x cost segregation, which you guys can do on your own on your existing rental properties. We've got a link for that at thewealthelevator.com/cost-seg for more info. For the 2x new construction single family homes, the last single family homes I'll buy. Also, depreciating wife's SUV, have S Corp use it for work. This is par for the course stuff for you pros, but I want to share some gratitude. I'm looking forward to adding the tax savings to our dry powder to jump into the syndication game in 2023. Additionally, I'm excited to learn from the FOOM. That said, if you would like a referral to CPA teams that have the capacity for these tax strategies, join our club at thewealthelevator.com/club and send us an email and we can get you connected. Deal with overwhelm. Before we move on, I want to discuss the concepts of focusing on what really moves you forward on the wealth building journey. This falls in line with Pareto's 80-20 rule. 80% of the outcomes result from 20% of all the causes. When your net worth is lower, in the basement or floor one, it's crucial to prioritize saving money and potentially cutting expenses. There aren't many tax strategies to employ. However, as you process to floor two and three, you should think about where you earn the highest hourly rate and the best return on your time. For most people, it's their day job or your business. If your net worth exceeds 1 million before you reach age 50, you likely have a great professional wage or run your own business. You can work harder or put in more hours to secure a promotion. That's why we emphasize investing as an LP with a reputable sponsor group that has a good track record instead of being a traditional landlord or doing property rehab yourself. It's all about where your hours are best spent. As you progress beyond the penthouse, your focus shifts away from income and towards business development activities. You should be growing your investment or business empire, essentially focusing more on top-line revenue than expenses, which examples of those expenses are tax savings method should already be on autopilot at this point. It's important to note that not many people reach the penthouse or even aspire to do so. Most of our clients aim to retire with a net worth of $4 to $6 million and live off passive income. It's up to you to be aware of the wealth floor you aspire to, corresponding strategies, and the various paradigms that guide how you allocate your precious time. Ultimately, time is your most valuable resource, and we need to be mindful of how we use it. Once you've lowered your tax burden, which is low-hanging fruit, you want to think about other ways to grow your money, like a credit investor banking strategy. Let's find out about that in our next chapter.